Isn't that great music? So awesome, elevator music. Inner life, that's what we're talking about. All of us have this thing called an inner life, and we live in a world that is intolerant towards paying attention to our inner life. So what I actually want to do is I actually want to spend a few minutes here. I'm going to sit back down, and I'm going to just kind of lead us through a time of inner life. So what I want to encourage you to do is just go ahead and get comfortable, okay? If you have a phone, pry it out of your hand and put it somewhere. Phone's hard on the inner life. And just get where you're comfortable. Just have your hands on your knees for just a minute. It's all right. And just go ahead and kind of close your eyes and just take a deep, deep breath. Kind of breath that goes through your nose, into your lungs, push it down into your middle and your stomach, and just hold it for just a second, and then just exhale. And just go ahead and do that again. Let's take a deep breath. And let's just hold it, and let's just exhale. And just once again, let's just take a deep breath and pull it in and exhale. And as you continue to do some deep breathing, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come into our being, into our soul, into our presence. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to calm us as we continue to breathe. As you can continue to breathe, allow yourself to just feel whatever you're feeling and acknowledge the things you're feeling. Are you feeling stressed? Are you feeling rushed? Are you feeling annoyed? Have you been carrying anger or shame or grief? Don't judge those feelings, just acknowledge those. Holy Spirit, we give these feelings to you. Become aware this week what has been dominating your thoughts. Have they been life-giving thoughts? Have they been thoughts that have been leading you to life and health and peace? Have you been obsessing about a problem or a situation or her culture? Or a child, or a parent, or a situation beyond your control. Don't judge that. Just be aware that your mind has been very, very wearied with this thought process. Holy Spirit, we invite you to renew our minds. And then just take a minute to become aware of your physical body. Are you tense? Have you been grinding your jaw or clenching your fists? Are your shoulders tense? Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and to bring your peace. We ask you to go with us into our inner life, that place of prayer, that place of shelter, that room where we meet with the Lord Jesus. Where we meet with our Heavenly Father. And we ask you to teach us to become attentive through awareness and silence, through prayer of the things that you are doing on the inside. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been asking this question in this series, how is your inner life? I mean, maybe for some of us, that was the first time in a while we've even walked into the room that is our inner life. First time that we even took a few moments there. And for some of us, it might have felt like a long time and a big stretch. Those just few minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, where we became attentive. How is your inner life? Is it dark when you think of it? Is it full of light? Is it a place of shelter and peace? Is it a place where you can be calm? Or is it a place full of chaos? Are there dark things or rotting things? Are there things that have just grown dusty? Are there important things that are going on in there that you have given yourself permission to stick in a corner? Are there feelings, emotions, are there behaviors, are there compulsions that you said, oh yeah, I forgot about that? You see, what Jesus taught us was something opposite than the world teaches us. The world teaches us that when you're feeling something, when your thoughts are spinning, that you need to jump into action. You need to take control. You need to make a plan. You need to make a list. You need to do some stuff. But what Jesus says is that before you do any of the doing, and doing is important, but before you do any of the doing, you've got to do some being. You've got to have this thing of inner life. So we need to ask ourselves a deep and important question. How is our inner life, that place of prayer, that place of meditation, that place where Jesus becomes most real? We've been asking this question about our inner life, and this series is preparing us for work that we're going to be doing all year as a church and as individuals. That is to say, what part of your life has not been touched by the gospel? Another way of thinking about it is, imagine your inner life as a home, a spiritual home where you meet with God, and it's got rooms, and it's got closets, and is there a room that you've kept locked from the gospel? This part of my life, the gospel has not touched. Is there a closet where you've stuffed some things away? It might be past pain. It might be an old compulsion. It might be an issue of unforgiveness. It might be some pattern of behavior that looks just like everybody else who lives in the world, because this is just a part of my life that has not yet been what the theologians call sanctified or redeemed or resurrected in light of who Jesus is. And so what part of your life have you not let the gospel touch? We discover those places in the inner life. Now, being and doing is what this is all about. Doing is what our external life does. It's what we say. It's how we act. It's how we do the things. Being is the inward life that actually informs it. We looked at a passage last week where Jesus was just exceedingly clear that true change begins when we deal with what's going on inside of us, our thought processes. That's why the Bible talks so much about the mind and what we think about, what we focus on, you know, and what we feel. And as Christians, you maybe grew up in a tradition where you were told not to trust your feelings, or not be attentive to your feelings, but actually God speaks through our feelings. And when feelings come, particularly those feelings that kind of explode from us, feelings like fear or despair or whatever it may be, or anger, Those are invitations to go and say, okay, where did that come from? What's going on in my inner life that's coming on my outer life? And so this dynamic of doing and being is super important for anybody who's going to be serious about becoming a mature person in Christ, okay? This week, we're going to be looking at a concept, a metaphor that is actually one of Jesus' favorite metaphors, particularly in the writings of the Apostle John. So it shows up in the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and in the book of the Revelation. This is huge for him, and it's the concept of light, okay? And I want to ask you a question. A lot of people are afraid of the dark, but there are a lot of other people who are actually afraid of the light. And when we understand how Jesus used this incredible metaphor of light and the importance of light in the inner life, we start recognizing just how important this image was to Jesus. Jesus described himself as the light of the world. He describes his followers as the light of the world. He talks about the importance of having not just light, but good light in our life. And here's the thing you need to understand. Going into your inner life alone and without a light is not smart. In fact, it's a little dangerous, because without a guide who makes it safe, because let's be honest, there's some scary things in our inner life. There's some past pains, there's some behaviors, there's some ugly things, there's some beautiful things, and it can become a place full of light and goodness. But when we first start going in there, we need some light in there, and we need a safe guide. We need the person of the Holy Spirit to be coming with us, to be spiritually holding our hand, saying, it's okay, we can have the courage, because we tend to be thinking that we're afraid of the dark, but what we're really really afraid of is the light. We're afraid of if we get in our light, we start shining light around there, we're going to see some things. And one of our worst fears could be brought forward that we're not enough. That there's nothing to us, that it's empty. But what we actually come to see when we let the Holy Spirit come in is that there's always some work to do in the inner life, but there's incredible beauty there as well. And so this image of light is going to be huge in the writing of Jesus. And once you start seeing it, you'll see it everywhere. Now in order to really access this metaphor, this picture, to make your inner life a place of prosperity and growth that causes your outer life to be different, there are two things that we have to rediscover as Christians. There are two values that we have to deeply be committed to. They're scary values. They're really two sides of the same coin. And honestly, it's stuff that Christians very often are not very good at. The two values that are crucial is the first one is honesty. The willingness to deal with things the way they actually are. To be honest with yourself. If God is truth, if Jesus is the truth, then he wants us to be people who are willing to look at things the way they actually are. And so we got to have a commitment to truth. With that is this conviction of honesty. We've got to learn to be honest with ourselves. We've got to be the kind of people who look at things as they are and become self-aware about what's going on inside of me without coming to either one of the extremes of prideful denial or prideful beating yourself up. So do you hear what I just said? It is pride both to deny and to puff yourself up. It is also pride to beat yourself up. You'd say, how does that work? I thought it was humble to beat myself up. No, that's not humble. That's just another kind of self-obsession. And one of the things that keeps us from really making progress and becoming better people is we have this kind of extreme view that we're a good person or we're a bad person. The truth is, it's a mixed bag. And a self-aware, honest person recognizes that in Christ I am forgiven, therefore it's safe. And God has a plan to complete the work he's doing in me so I can celebrate the things that have been transformed and are new in my life. But there's also some other things that are broken in my life. And I'm not going to get caught in the trap of despising myself or denying. I'm going to take what's there, bring it into the light, and let the gospel redeem it in hope and encourage. So honesty. So I got to be honest with myself. I got to be honest with God. Okay? Honesty is the foundation of all healthy relationship. And if I'm not going to be honest with God, I'm going to have a tough time having a trusting love relationship with him. And then we got to learn to be honest with each other. We got to find those safe people, not all people, but safe people who we can be real and transparent with within community. And we're going to find that that's transformational. So the first value we got to discover is honesty. The second value, and this is really a tough one for Christians, is humility. Humility. Humility, again, it actually is just another way of saying honesty, because humility is the ability to deal with things as it really is, to put myself in the proper place within the order. So again, humility obviously isn't, we understand pride, it's not puffing yourself up, we can all recognize that kind of pride, but neither is it tearing yourself down and saying, I'm a worm, I'm worthless, I'm terrible. Humility is being honest about who I am, who God is, who you are, and putting myself in the proper place so that I don't have to obsess about myself with pride or degrading myself. I can actually forget myself, and then I can start being interested in other people and in God, and I can get past myself. And so true humility is a wonderful place to be. Now, why is this so important? For the inner life, to going into that inner place with light and companionship to see what's there, because we're going to have to learn to do some things and say some things that as Christians we sometimes aren't good at. So I just want to practice a couple things you're going to have to be able to do and say and believe. Okay, so just repeat after me. Okay, this will be a new experience for some of you. Okay, you ready? I want you to say these words. I don't know. Okay? Some of you, it was painful, right? But I do know, if you're certain, you know, there's not much that God can do for you. You see, Christians think that what we're called to is certainty. We're not called to certainty. We're called to faith. Faith is different than certainty. It's you see, certainty is I can go forward because I know exactly what's going to happen, how it's going to play. Faith is I don't know how this is going to play out, but I believe in God. I believe he's good, so I'm going to keep going. I'm going to trust in him even though I don't have all the answers. Somewhere along the line, Christians got the idea that in order to really be mature, we had to have all the answers. But the really mature person is the person who can say, I don't know. Here's another thing some of us, okay, repeat after me. I am not all right. Just say that. Okay, some of you, that was a big step, okay? Here's one, okay? All right, this is going to be a tough one, right? All right. I was wrong, all right? That was not enthusiastically done. Oh, man, some got ribbed just right there. Oh, yeah. All right, say that again. I was wrong. All right, very good. All right, one other one, okay? This is a big deal, all right? I need help. That's the deal. We just sang songs about being desperate for God. And isn't there something about that song? I didn't know we were doing that song this morning, but it couldn't have been a better song. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, this idea of I'm desperate for you. You're the breath I breathe. I can't do this. Jesus was really clear about this. He said, without me, you can't do a lot. He didn't say that. He said, without me, you can do nothing. And so honesty and humility. All right, let's go ahead and look at the text this morning. This is about light in the inner place. Let's take a look. So it says this, is it? This is what Jesus said, verse 33. Now no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see a light. Now here's a little tricky thing about this metaphor, this illustration, this parable Jesus gives. He uses this illustration of a lamp and a stand in multiple places, and he uses them for different applications. So that's just Jesus. Jesus was a preacher, and he said, hey, I got this illustration. It works for this point, and it works for this point. He uses it in Matthew's gospel. See, this is Luke's gospel, as an illustration for the outer life. He says, when you're going out and you're being a Christian in the world, let your light shine before men so that they glorify God. Put it up on a stand so people can see. That's how he uses it in that. So if you're familiar with how he uses it in Matthew's gospel, don't miss how he uses it in Luke's gospel. Because in Luke's gospel, he's talking about lighting up the inner light. He's imagining the inner light like a room or like a house or like maybe a cabin by a lake or something like that where you're bringing a lamp into that. Now, in order to really understand this passage, we have to understand what came before it and what came after it. And I haven't got time to unpack it all, but if you go back and look what came before it is a bunch of conversations about whether or not people were going to take Jesus' teaching seriously. So the light that's being brought into the room is Jesus' teaching and Jesus' way. So Jesus taught us through all kinds of way. He taught us through parables. He taught us through sermons. He taught us best through his example, okay, of servant and sacrifice, washing feet, dying on the cross. He taught us through the word of God and through apostles and prophets. And so this is about bringing the truth of Jesus and all that he is into our inner life so that it can have light. So he's saying, listen, if you embrace the light of Christ, and you've brought it into the inner life, a lot of us have been like keeping it on the floor because I got some things in the corner I don't want anybody to see. I'm sure not going to bring it into that room over there, okay? I'm sure not going to let it shine on that thing over there. Some of us, listen now, value things in the darkness that are completely inconsistent with Christ. And we cling to them because we think we love them and we think they're bringing us life, but they're rotten and they smell and they're robbing us from life. You see, and so we're afraid of light. And so Jesus is saying, if you've embraced my teaching, if you're my follower, let that light shine into every nook and cranny. Let it show the good, the bad, and the ugly with honesty and humility. So if you're with the Holy Spirit and you go and a light shines and the Holy Spirit says, oh, well, look at that. I said, yeah, that's pretty bad. Can we clean that up? And the Holy Spirit said, I would love to clean that up. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a journey. There's going to be a process. Or if there's a painful thing and it's locked up in a closet, say, I don't know if I want to open that door. Holy Spirit said we can bring light in there and we can bring redemption in there. We can bring healing in there. We can actually use that evil that was done for some good. You know, and I'm not certain that's going to work out that way, Holy Spirit. Well, that's where faith comes in. It's humility. I can't do it. Well, I know you can't do it, but Holy Spirit is here. We're going to bring other people into your life. And so it's about bringing light into your inner life. Honesty and humility, self-awareness, becoming known, transparency, all these are principles of Jesus. And look what he goes on to say. He says, your eye is the lamp of your body. So here's the thing you need to understand. First part before this passage of scripture, all about whether or not we're going to receive Jesus' teaching, okay? Immediately after this is something called the woes of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And if you've never read those, read them. We're for reading the Bible here at Jacob's Well. Read them and just hold on to your hat if you're going to read them seriously. Because they are powerful and they are cutting and they are everything wrong with Christianity when it becomes hypocritical and empty and dark. Now it's going to be easier to read them and say, yeah, that's what those bad Christians do. But if you have the courage with the Holy Spirit to read them in the inner life and say, oh yeah, I do that. I've done that. Oh my gosh, I do that. Well, that starts feeling like surgery, and it's powerful. But the point is this, is immediately after this passage, he is going to point out hypocrisy. Now, this is one of the ways he does it. Jesus points out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees very often by suggesting nonsense. And this is what I mean by that. He says things like, yeah, you've got light, but your light is actually dark. Well, light can't be dark. We're going to do some teaching on this later in the year. We're going to see what Jesus is trying to constantly do is throw people who are full of certainty off their game. He's trying to knock them off their certainty so in humility they can receive and learn. And so he says things like, your light is darkness. He says, you see, but you're blind. He says, you guys are rich, but you're actually poor. And they're all supposed to stop and say, what do you mean by that? And so that's exactly what he's going to do here. But what he's going to be talking about is the metaphor connected with light is the eye. So when he's saying the eye is where the light comes in and it's how you see. And so this is about how clearly you see. This is about how you're letting light in and what you're focusing on, okay? So watch what he says. Your eye is the lamp for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. So when you are looking at the right things, you are focused on the right things, you are seeing things clearly, when you are in a love relationship with Jesus and his teaching is fresh and the gospels are alive and real and you've grown to that point of maturity where you can take what you read in the scripture and you understand it. And then you grow to an incredible other point of maturity where you not only understand it, you can figure out how it would apply in a life. And then you grow to this crazy powerful place where you not only understand how it could apply in a life, you start learning how to apply it in your life. And then you go to this incredible life transformational experience of actually applying it to your life. So you read, for instance, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. And you said, well, what that probably is about, when someone comes and disrespects me, my response would be to disrespect them. But instead, if I gave them love, maybe they would be better and I would be free. And there's this guy named Joe who disrespected me, and I've been carrying that in my inner life, and I've been seething about it and soothing it, and it's a big nasty thing in the darkness, and now the light of the Word of God has come in my heart. I now have a choice. Am I going to let the Spirit heal that? And I'm going to actually turn the other cheek in a real life example. Now the teaching of Jesus is doing things like setting me free and transforming me and making me a significant and real person. This is the eye of the lamp of the body, you know, seeing it. And you become, look at this, isn't that a powerful word? Healthy. Healthy. Don't you want to be healthy mentally and emotionally and relationally and spiritually? Well, that comes with a healthy inner life. So he says, your whole body, the word body here is the word for soul, okay? Not just physical body, it's connected with the metaphor. It's actually a play on word in Greek. But what he's basically saying here, your whole soul, your whole being becomes full of light. You not only have light so you can see clearly, but you become a light that begins to shine. Look what he says. He says, but when it is bad, okay, when the eye is bad, that is to say, you know, when it's focusing on negative things, when it takes the principle of this world, which is an eye for an eye, someone takes my eye, I'm going to get their eye. Okay? When you take the world's principles, that things like he who dies with the most toys wins, okay? When you take the world's perspective, that don't let anyone hurt you, hurt them before you hurt them. And when you start developing these patterns in your light, thinking that's light, because these are the principles you're living with, you're not even aware you're storing them in your inner life, but you've stored them in your inner life. When your eye is bad, okay, your body is full of darkness. Okay? And so in your inner life, you're rocking around, bumping into things, hurting yourself, hurting other people. You're bringing things forward that are not healthy or good. Remember the scripture from last week? Jesus said, from the good a person stores in their inner life, they are able to bring good things out. So if you're storing good things, you can bring good things out because that's what you have to offer. But he says the evil person stores darkness or evil in their life so that all they can bring to the table are things like anger and pettiness and jealousy and covetousness. And some of you have recognized those things in your life. You say, I'm trying to get rid of them, but I can't. The answer is in the inner life. Okay, so he says, if you haven't brought the light into the inner place, your whole soul will be full of darkness. He says, therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. And isn't that interesting play on words? How can light be darkness? It can be dark when we think we are living in pride and enlightened life, that we have it figured out and our morality and our answers and our things are all correct and proper. We become full of pride. Remember, the very next thing in this passage is the woes of the Pharisees and Sadducees, people who thought they were in the light, but they were living in the darkness. They were calling dark principles, dark ways of living, enlightened ways of living. That's why we got to run back to the teachings of Jesus and the Word of God. These are folks, he says, are fooling themselves. And look what he says. He says, be careful, be mindful, pay attention to. And just for a second, just please for a second, is it just possible if Jesus gave this warning to other people, he might be giving this warning to you? And if you and me, but you have not been mindful, careful about what you're storing, about the light that you're calling light, about the things that you're calling truth, about the things you're filling your mind with and your heart with and your attention with, and you have no time for the teachings of Jesus in a deep and real and significant way. If you have been completely indifferent to your inner life, you just keep moving faster and harder and doing and achieving, and the whole world may be applauding and saying, look how successful, look how good, look what they're accomplishing. But you know inside, you are like what he's about to say to the Pharisees, you are like a whitewashed tomb. You look good and painted and beautiful on the outside, but inside you're rotting bones. You see, that's the warning. He says, be careful, be careful. Now he goes on. He says, if then your whole body is full of light, having no part in the dark, that is to say you lifted up the light of Jesus, who he is, how he lived, what he taught, and you're bringing, I don't want a part of my life that's not saved, that's not redeemed, that's not experienced resurrection power. I want it to touch how I treat my wife. I want to treat my finances. I want it how I raise my kids. I want it how I pay my taxes. I want it on every part of my life. I want it in my past pain. I want it in the way I look towards people who are different than I am. I want it in my perspective on race. Some of you are so certain that racism is not a problem anymore, and you've got little pockets of racism hidden in your heart, and what I just said infuriated you, okay? Pay attention to that, okay? Because there are things hidden away in our, we bring the gospel and Jesus' teaching into every nook and corner of our life. So that our whole being, our whole body is full of light, having no part in the dark. It will be wholly bright as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. He says this is what we are called to. See, this is Jesus talking about light and about truth and about honesty and about transparency. And this only works if you have a radical, radical commitment to the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, you know, I am the truth. And if you want to know what truth is, I'm it. And in a radical commitment to that honesty and in a radical commitment to humility. I mean, maturity doesn't gain arrogant confidence. It gains humble confidence. The kind of thing that says, because I'm loved by God, I can be open to the fact that I might not know. that I may have been wrong, that there might be another perspective on this, that maybe someone else is seeing things that I'm not seeing, that there's darkness in my life I'm not aware of. And so in humility, we come back and we grow. There's another passage of scripture that I would just point out about light again. And this is actually, this is actually from John's gospel. So that should not say Luke, it should say John. So this is it. It says this. This is, by the way, so John 3:19, you know what is in John 3:16? For God so loved the world, he sent his only son. He said, this is the deal. So this is what he says immediately after that. Look at this. He says, and this is the judgment, okay? He says, this is the standard by which we're all gonna stand. He says, light has come into the world. He said, I'm the light of the world. The truth, and it has to do with love, and humility, and service, and beautiful things. He says, and people loved the darkness. That's why I started this message by asking, are you afraid of the light, or are you afraid of the dark? See, some of us are actually afraid of the light. And some of us love keeping things hidden away in our inner life. We're actually pridefully proud, this is redundant, we're proud of the fact that we've got things hidden away that no one knows about, that we cherish, and everybody we think on the outside, you know, we just got them fooled. But inside we've got petty jealousies and we covet and we steal in our heart and we judge in our heart. He said, we love our darkness because why? Rather than the light, because look at this, their works are evil. And we take delight in evil things at times. It takes courage and bravery and honesty to admit that. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light. So it manifests itself in the outer life. We do wicked things because inwardly we're not being renewed. Lest his work should be exposed. So we love the fact that we can hide. We love the darkness of hypocrisy and spiritual, you know, phony spiritual Christianese. We can, you know, man, it just don't get me started. All right, that it should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes into the light. So if you are wanting truth, by the way, truth gives freedom. Lies ensnare. That's the terrible thing about being a person who lives in a lie. You got to keep track of what lie you told every person, so you're constantly tormented by your lies. You're owned and driven by them, particularly the lies we tell ourselves. The images that we have created, that I'm like this, and no one can tell me anything else, when the truth is we're not like we are trying to portray at all. He says, but whoever does what is true comes in the light. Commitment to the true, commitment to what is right, to what is beautiful, what is freeing, comes into the light so that it may be clearly seen that their works have been carried out by God. And so the person whose inner life is cherishing that which is good loves light so that it can be brought out and said, this is why I tell the truth, because God is truth. This is why I do the things. And I love to see it in the light. And so I just don't want to hide in the dark anymore. This is why some of you don't like community groups. Okay, say, I'm just an introvert. I'm a quiet person, and I get that. But I also believe that many of us just don't want people to get too close. We don't want people to see what's going on there. We got some things that we're treasuring in our storehouses. Remember Jesus said, whatever you treasure in your inner life, okay, that's what you're going to bring out. And so if people get too close, I'm not going to be able to maintain the fake it image that I bring to church or I hold up just long enough, you know, because it's exhausting living a fake life. It's exhausting. Okay, and so they're going to see the real me, and I just don't know I want to do that, and so I'm just going to keep people away. I'll just work more. I'll take another shift. I'll do more. I'll watch another show. I'll buy another thing. I'll medicate in a new way. Whatever it is, you see. But God wants to set us free from all of this. He says, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes in the light, so that it may be clearly seen that the works have been carried out in God, by God, in the person of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is calling us to a deep, deep work, and that's the work in our inner life. So what are some next steps we can take? This, I just remind you of our journey tool. Some of you, I just bring this up so you see the work we did last year, we're still doing, of asking, where am I on my spiritual journey? What's my next step? Okay, here's the next step. Continue the process of writing your rule for life. So last week, We created this little pamphlet. You can get it here if you're on campus. If you're listening online, you can download it on the message page. And basically, it is a conversation about asking, what are the patterns I could establish to create an inner life? And maybe some of you heard about it this week and you thought about it and you actually did some work, because I encourage you to begin the process this week. I encourage you to listen to the podcast, School of Unlearning, that we do every week, Shu and I do every week. And we're gonna be talking specifically about how to start building that. We did last week, actually had a guest last week. And then do it. Some of you did some of the work on this. Others of you with good intention intended to didn't, but you started recognizing, man, I gotta figure this light and dark thing out, because there's part of my life that's really dark. I want light to go in it. And so you're gonna grab this, you're gonna pick it up, and you're gonna use it this week. You're just gonna do what it says. And maybe you just didn't get to it. Now, there are some others of you, maybe a few, who in pride said, oh, that Paul, he's just doing touchy-feely about how we feel and our desires and our pains, and we just need some good, deep Bible study here at this church. Okay, you should read the woes of the Pharisees. No, never mind, I'm sorry. So, I don't want you to just come here and learn the Bible. I don't want people coming here and after being here for years, they know the Bible inside and out, and yet inside they're rotting bones. You know who knew the Bible the best in the time of Jesus? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees memorized the first five books of the Bible to even get in the club. So that's like Leviticus, okay? All right, they memorized it word for word. They could not mispronounce a word of it. They just knew it, okay? And Jesus said this. He said, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have life, but these scriptures testify about me. And so to have the word of God without having a transformational inner life with Jesus in the scripture is it plunges you into darkness. It makes you a hypocritical, pharisaical. Now, don't get me wrong. Just about all of us have to engage in the word of God more. This is God's word. I love it. It's this beautiful, inerrant word of God. I love it. It's part of my life. It should be part of my life. But without Jesus, this book becomes an idol. Did you hear what I just said? Okay. God did not have you, he does not want you to have a living, wonderful love relationship with the Bible. He wants you to use the Bible, precious, love the Bible, only as a means to a deep love relationship with Jesus. And the difference of that is the difference between being a growing, maturing, loving, healthy person and being a Pharisee. Okay. And so I chased a big rabbit there. Rule of life. Okay. We're going to do that. Everybody's going to do that, right? All right. Second thing is listen to the School of Unlearning, the podcast I mentioned. Next thing is drag whatever there is into the light. Okay. Some of you, God has just shown that you know there's something in the darkness. The Spirit of God has spoken. You got a big pile of unforgiveness. You've got a big pile of jealousy. You've got, and you need to drag it into the light. And that might look like you just getting with God and being honest and confessing it. It might look like you journaling it up. It usually looks like you getting with someone safe and trustworthy and mature in Christ and talking it through with them. And it's amazing how often you just drag something into the light and it evaporates. It's powerful. It very often you thought it was this big, deep, but all of a sudden it's just shadows. And you realize the love of God and the provision of God. And then you maybe read a book about it and you recognize, how do you get over being jealous? You embrace gratitude in your life. Gratitude is much more powerful than jealousy. And you start learning lessons that you start reading the word of God about what it says about it. You do some work in your life. You drag things into the light. You bring that light to every nook and corner of your soul and you create inner life. And then the last thing I just want to remind you about is we've got baptism coming up. Okay, we got Splash coming in just like 2 weeks. It's gonna be awesome. We're gonna be outdoors. It's gonna be a celebration of new life. And if this is a step you need to take, we have a couple opportunities. You can go through the process online, or you can come to a class. It's coming up. They mentioned in announcements. I'd say the date, but I'd probably get it wrong. I'll be there. It's on my calendar. I just can't remember the date right now. But the point is that this is a step of you saying, I'm all in with Jesus. I'm all in with Jesus. And this might be a season of renewal, where it's your time to take that step. Let's pray. Father, I love you. We love you. We want to be more. We want to be children of the light. We want to walk in the light. We want the light of God to shine in every nook and cranny, but it terrifies us. We confess. We don't have all the answers. We confess that very often we fake it. We confess that we're afraid just of what's in the dark there, and there's even a part of us that loves what's in the dark there, and we love that it's hidden in the dark. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd give us conviction to believe in your truth, to embrace your humility, to be the kind of people who align ourselves with the truth of God, that we search out with your spirit how we can be more like your son, that we would be people of justice and goodness and fairness and nobility, that we'd tell the truth because we embrace the truth, we love the truth, that we would be authentic people, good people from whom good things naturally flow, that the works that would come from us would be the works that God has done in us first, then we can bring it out of our storehouse to those who are around us. Father, we love you. Create in your people in this church a deep, powerful, transformational inner life that even in weeks and months and years, we don't even recognize who we used to be because we've been changed in Christ. We have been transformed, not by our efforts, but by your spirit, not by our works, but by your grace, and all of it in Jesus' name, amen.